Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Angela Morabito of StandUnited.org. And Angela, we're going to talk with you about the opioid crisis. And first of all, we've got to ask, as just a starting point, we hear about this opioid crisis, you know, in the news. You see little smatterings of it here and there. What is it? What's going on here that's causing such problems?
Well, most people in America today are, unfortunately, either dealing with an addiction themselves or they know of someone who has faced addiction in their own life. So an opioid is anything from a prescription painkiller, something like oxycodone, something, you know, that's addictive in that way, to street drugs like heroin and then fentanyl, which is particularly deadly.
Yeah.
These drugs are extremely addictive, and even when it starts with a prescription, it can sometimes spiral into addiction that takes thousands of American lives each year.
Huh. One doctor said that opioid drugs are the leading cause of death of those who are 50 and under. Is that true?
That's right. I believe the doctor is correct. And what's really stunning to me, Jerry, is what just came out from the White House Commission's interim report that says opioids are killing so many American people that every 3 weeks in this country, we're suffering a death toll equal to that of what happened on September 11th.
Every how many weeks? Every 3 weeks?
Every 3 weeks.
Wow, yes. That's amazing. So about 1,000 people are dying a week then, on average, from that. By the way,
right.
Some people are criticizing the president, saying, hey, he ought to declare a state of national emergency when it comes to opioids. I don't know what your thoughts are, but have you heard that too?
I have, and that's actually one of our petitions that's up on StandUnited.org. It asks the president to do two things. First, declare that state of national emergency. And second, tell every single police department in America to carry naloxone. Naloxone is another drug that works as an antidote to opioid overdose. It can stop an overdose in its tracks. You may have heard it called Narcan, and there are people walking around alive today because they were brought back from the brink of death because they got a Narcan injection just in time.
Can you tell me that again? I've heard it described also as methadone, or no?
So methadone is a little bit similar, but they do different things. So methadone helps people wean themselves off of opioids. It's more
so methadone is more long-term. But this other thing is for an emergency. And say it again, please, the name of the emergency.
Sure. So this drug is called naloxone. Some people know it as Narcan. That is the prescription name. And what it does is it's like an injection. Think of it as like an EpiPen, but instead of for allergic reaction, it's for overdose. And what it does is it blocks the receptors in the brain that opioids hit. So if an EMT, a cop, a firefighter, whoever is the first responder on the scene, when they show up, if they can give the person who's suffering an injection of Narcan, it can and will save their life.
Okay, Angela, older people sometimes might say, well, you know, look, if a young person is going to be foolish enough to take drugs, you know, let them deal with it and deal with the consequences. But this is spiraling out of control. I mean, this is beyond normal, right? Well, I mean, as you pointed out a few moments ago, 1,000 deaths in America a week because of this.
Yeah, this is epidemic proportions. And people, you know, it's sort of the gut reaction to think, this is a Rust Belt thing. This is something that's only hitting poor communities. This is a symptom of poverty. And yeah, sometimes that does start that way. But right now, it's everywhere. There's a story of a lawyer who had a wife and kids and a house in the suburbs. This guy had it all going on. He was fighting an opiate addiction so much so that he passed away from an overdose in the middle of a conference call.
Wow.
He was trying to dial in. He OD'd, and that was his last moments alive on earth. You think about how many people this is hitting, and, you know, I'm of the mind that even if it's just in poor communities, even if it's places that feel left behind, it's still worth confronting.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't seem to think that way. And, oh, by the way, this is everywhere now. About 1 in 5 addicts get started on opioids from a prescription that was given to them by a doctor.
Mm.
They might have had an injury or surgery or something else was going on where they needed a prescription painkiller. And that's fine. They're under a doctor's care. What's not fine is when they get hooked. And these drugs are way more addictive than the medical community was willing to admit for quite a long time.
Hmm. You know, in some ways, one person that might be a good person to help fight this campaign is Rush Limbaugh, because it is famous. You know, he's well known for having had an addiction to OxyContin, which from all outward appearances, it seems like he's totally licked by the grace of God.
Right. He seems to be doing very well, and that's great. That's awesome. This is one of the hardest addictions to come back from because of what it does to the human brain. I've heard it's described as a rush that you just can't get from anything else.
No
pun intended.
So it's
very hard to find a replacement behavior.
Uh-huh.
And when you see someone who's recovered from opioids, the story is not usually they went to rehab and they were fine. The story is they went to rehab, they were fine, and then they relapsed. They went to rehab again, then relapsed. Mm. Maybe people came through rehab 5 or 6 times, and today they're walking around perfectly healthy, but it takes that level of persistence.
Wow. According to columnist Mike McManus, in 2012, 259 million prescriptions for opioids were dispensed in the U.S., which is enough for one bottle for each American adult. Obviously, you have a limited body of people who are receiving multiple prescriptions for different opioids, but there it is. That's a big problem, I would say.
Absolutely. And people doctor shop. When one doctor won't give you that script anymore, you end up going to the other doctor down the street who will give you that prescription. And when you've run out of doctors in your town, you're either traveling for it, you're buying it on the street, or you're buying something like heroin and fentanyl because that's much cheaper than a prescription drug.
Tell us what fentanyl is, because I've seen some ads for it and I've heard some terrible things about it. I've heard that it's almost like synthetic heroin or something like that, and it's very deadly.
So that's a pretty solid description of it. It works fast and it works hard. So this is something that's going to have a huge impact on the person who takes it really, really quickly. It is a synthetic opioid. It comes in, you know, a patch that is for people who have it prescribed, comes in a spray, comes in a bunch of different formats. And all of those are well and good when they're used in a hospital by someone who needs it, who's under a doctor's care. It really showed up around 2000, and now it has become such a big street drug. It's strong enough to be a surgical anesthetic.
Wow. So technically, what is an opioid? A painkiller, essentially? A pill that's a painkiller?
Right. So opioid is the term for a class of drugs. And the way that people describe it is like the strongest painkillers you can get.
Hmm.
They tend to just sort of not only kill pain, but kind of chill people out in a really messed up way.
Mm.
So, and they're not without side effects. Plenty of people get nauseous. Plenty of people, have their breathing slow down. And that's why these things are so dangerous. If you need it, if you're coming out of surgery, that's understandable. If you don't need it, this stuff ruins lives.
Wow. So at standunited.org, you have a petition where you want basically, you're trying to get citizens throughout the country to speak to the president to, number one, declare this as a state of national emergency. And what was another step to be taken by the government?
To tell every police department in the nation to have their officers carrying naloxone, carrying that Narcan injection that can stop an overdose in progress.
Wow. And this would save lives if this would have happened. And by the way, going back to the columnist Mike McManus, he said that 97.5 million people in America, 97.5, are taking prescription opioids. I find that hard to believe. That's like 1 out of 3 Americans, just about.
That is an absolutely stunning statistic. I had not heard that. But when you look at the scope of this crisis and put it in context, Sure, that could very well be true. So the president has his commission on the opioid crisis. It's headed up by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who has spoken very personally about the impact of opioids on some of his own close friends. You know, he has a really heartbreaking personal attachment to this. The commission's made its first round of recommendations, but the ones that can work the fastest are declaring the state of emergency, giving the government access to emergency funds for treatment for people who need it, and telling every single police department to carry naloxone. Over 1,000 already do. And those people are trained to use it. It's not difficult to use, but it is crucial because if you don't get to the person within a few minutes, that overdose can prove fatal.
Yeah. All right, going back to McManus, he noted that Nashville Mayor Megan Berry disclosed just this week that her only son, Max Berry, who was 22 years old, had just graduated from college, and he died of a drug overdose. So his whole life ahead of him, and yet I guess he couldn't lick this thing.
It's heartbreaking. And when someone is addicted, that person is not in control. The addiction is in control, and it is driving everything that they do. The addiction of a parent can drive kids into poverty, can leave kids with no dependable guardian in the home. There was that viral photo that went around a few months ago of this poor little kid in his car seat in the back of a van while both parents are slumped over because they were using opioids recreationally.
Wow.
So it's about the addict, but it's really not just about them because it affects everyone they know.
Huh. Wow. So America has a very serious drug problem, and it's more likely to be coming from prescription drugs as opposed to, you know, like the pusher in the down in the street corner alley or something like that.
Right. So people will get the prescription drugs, get hooked on the prescription drugs, and get as many of them as they possibly can through either doc shopping or buying them on the street until they can't find doctors to give it to them, or they just flat run out of money because this stuff is expensive. And then they turn to the cheap stuff. That's heroin. That's fentanyl. And that's the stuff that's going to be most deadly.
It's amazing, too, because, I mean, I'm sure some of these people, especially the, you know, like white-collar workers or something, you know, if you had told them, let's say, even 5-10 years ago, hey, one day would come where you would be actually, you know, buying heroin from a drug pusher down the street, they would say, get out of here. You know, I would never do that. So tell us more about how this can degenerate. I mean, this is a scary problem, I guess.
So once you're hooked on a substance, then I don't care what that substance is. It could be an opiate. It could be alcohol. Honestly, it could even be gambling. But once you're hooked, you're not in control anymore, and it drives you to orient your whole life around that addiction.
Yeah.
So people essentially let go of all their other responsibilities. They can sometimes function really well, just like you hear about functional alcoholics. But at the end of the day, everything they do is about chasing that high.
Hmm.
And, you know, you can honestly go on YouTube, check it out. You can see videos of addicts who will say, I have to have this stuff. I'm trying to function. I don't like that I'm hooked on this stuff, but I can't stop. Hmm. And those are people who are trapped. Those are people who are on a downward spiral because they're building up a tolerance to those drugs. They're going to need higher doses to get that same high, and they're going to want that more often. So this addiction becomes a full-time job for people, and that means they can't hold down their job that they may have had to start with. They can't take care of their kids. Heaven help us should they get behind the wheel of a car. Mm-hmm. It disrupts someone's entire life.
Yeah, and one thing I will say, I mean, this is a Christian station, and I want to end on this note, but we'll also mention your website again, standunited.org. Look for the petition on opioids. But I do want to end on the note of hope, and that is that there definitely are some Christian-based ministries that are providing freedom through Christ from these kinds of addictions. And I remember one time where somebody was, they actually did a study with Alcoholics Anonymous, and they discovered that when people made Jesus their higher power, they had a much higher recovery rate than if they made a doorknob on a door or whatever their higher power. Hey, thank you so much for being with us, Angela. Appreciate that. Again, the website is standunited.com. www.stanislawmorabito.org for more information. All the best to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.